Chapter number 2 of the book of Daniel. I want you to stand with me, please. And let's go to the second chapter of Daniel and verse number 31. I touched a little bit of this the other day. Hope you got your pencil and piece of paper. I want you to do some research on some of this stuff. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." Now this king had dreamed a dream. He could not remember what his dream was, and he's fixing to put them all to death. And he gave it over, and Daniel prayed. And Daniel not only gave the interpretation of the dream, he told him what the dream was, showing that it was an intervention of God. Amen. The Bible said in verse 32, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. Look at this interesting image. Gold is the heaviest metal. This is a top-heavy image. Gold, silver, and then brass, and then iron. But notice what it goes on to say in verse 33. His legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. That's the weakest part, isn't it? This is a top-heavy image. He couldn't stand. Verse 34 said, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors." And that's where they throw it up. The harvest and the chaff was what was left over, and the wind blowed it away. And he said, that's what this happened. "And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them." So whatever's here is blown away. "And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." You'd be seated. And let's pray. Help me pray. Pray for me. And listen as we preach. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, we feel so inadequate. We realize, Lord, we're like Moses. We're on holy ground. Lord, we've got divine truth before us this morning opened. And if there's anything that's going to help us, it's going to have to come from the throne of God, through the Spirit of God down through my lips. And I pray, Father, you blot out anything in my mind that I don't need to think on. And Lord, you put things in my mind that I haven't even thought or even heard of, but are inspired of the Spirit of God. Bring it to my remembrance of those things I've studied, learned. And if I learned the wrong things, I pray, God, you'll crunch them up and throw them away. Lord, if I learned the right things, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, with power to deliver. I pray, God, that if there's anybody in this building that's never made their peace called an election, sure. Never been birthed in the family of God. Never confessed their sin. Never been saved. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over that precious soul that you love so dearly, and gave yourself on the cross of Calvary that they could have life. Now open our eyes, our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everywhere I go, I was at Stoney's over here 2 days ago, and there was a couple of men, and Lord have mercy, they had the floor. Talking about the voting and the situation in the state of Georgia. And they were so distraught and upset, they had the rest of us in there all disturbed too. And I refrained myself. I wanted to get in the middle of it, but I thought they was doing a pretty good job. So I left it alone, got my stuff, and went home. You get out in a place of business and people have problems. They Can't seem to get it together. And I have all kinds of questions. People talk to me. I don't get out much, but when I get out, everywhere I go, just about it. Amen. You see, then I thought, well, the Israelites had the land of Goshen over there when trouble come. And I said, Lord, I ain't got no land of Goshen. And he reminded me, 1743 Robertson Loop Road was my land of Goshen. That's where I live. And I felt pretty good after that. Amen. Felt pretty good before that too. But anyhow, it just helped me a little along the way. And I look at this and it appreciates it. I appreciate the Lord. Let me give you a few things that's just happened. Last night, I got a text. And the text said, Dear Audrey, now that's my wife's name. Dear Audrey, we want to let you know that Mr. Biden and Miss Harris need your help. Said, we want to register you to vote. Only take about 2 minutes. Click on this link. I didn't click on it. My wife's not here. And I want to say to you today, they're trying to do everything they can so people get upset about that. You know, I heard on the news this week that they're got a campaign out to get people to move into the state of Georgia. If you live in the state of Georgia for at least 6 months, you can register and vote. Then you can move back wherever you come from. And people are renting places in Georgia and staying for 6 months and then going back home. I look at politics and I see how crazy it is. I noticed on the news that they got curfews in some of the states now, getting people back off, closing the streets down. I know in Kentucky and Illinois, those two, and others. I listened to a missionary yesterday, and the missionary is from Arizona, and he said they've closed the schools down in Arizona for the rest of the year. And they're advising people not to travel for Thanksgiving. And I heard one outfit say, if you're going to meet with family somewhere, make sure they all get COVID tests before you go. And things have happened. And things are happening. Amen. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
And I hear this and get on the radio and television and talk about this and that. Now, I ain't left my text. I'm coming back to it. But I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. I read this last Sunday morning and preached on it. You remember last Sunday I preached on how that the one world religion is going to take place. You remember that? I have not changed my mind on what I preached. But I want to give you two things that I want to point out to you out of this 2 Thessalonians, and keep this in your mind. I don't care what you hear and who's saying it. These two things you've got to know. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. The Bible said, and I read it 3 or 4 times last Sunday morning, let no man deceive you in verse 3. By any means, let no man deceive you. That means warp your mind, twist your mind, draw you off the truth, draw you off the beaten path. Don't let nobody deceive you. And it says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now we're in that falling away. I believe I proved that last week. I believe you look at everything you see today, you'll know we're living in that falling away. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous is troublous times, dangerous times. It said, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And there's a comma there. I like punctuation in my Bible. Got a comma. That means something else is coming. And that man of sin is the Antichrist. And I hear so many people talk about the Antichrist. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's got to be a falling away before the son of perdition is noticed. And I think I made that clear last week that you can't tell who the Antichrist is. He may be alive, may be well able to take the position, but nobody has brought him out, and he will not be revealed till this day of falling away comes, and it's here. And another thing about that, go down with me, please, to verse 7. The Bible said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And I said, that's the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is indwelt in the people of God in the Old Testament. Remember, they did not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon them. The Spirit of God filled them. The Spirit of God came upon them. Many times that prayer. And the Spirit of God came upon them. And they worked the whole Old Testament. Listen to me. I'm not going to get in no big hurry this morning because I'll come back and finish this tonight. I got so much to preach. And sometimes I skip so much. And when I get through this morning, you're going to say I skipped a whole lot too. But I'm going to give you what God's given me. I didn't get this message till I opened my eyes. When I opened my eyes this morning, God gave me this message. I worried about it all night long, off and on. Because I didn't have none. Boy, a preacher likes to know what he's preaching before he goes to the pulpit. Amen. You don't believe that, try it sometimes. If you're going to have a speech next week somewhere, you're going to prepare for it, aren't you? If I'm going to preach, I'm going to prepare for it. But I couldn't find nothing last night. I got 66 books, couldn't find a thing. But I got up this morning and the Lord said, okay, boy, here it is. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, got it? And then shall that wicked be revealed." The Antichrist will not show up. His head will not be popped up until the church is taken out of here. "Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Amen. And you can go on and see what he does. He's coming with signs and lying wonders. Two things. There's got to be a falling away, and the man of sin will not be revealed until the Spirit of God is taken out of here. And that's the rapture of the church. When the saints go out, the Spirit goes out, and it's a chaotic mess after that. Then the man of sin will be revealed. Not until. I hear people say, "Preacher, what about the mark of the beast?" And I say, "Why are you worried about the mark of the beast? Are you saved?" No. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. You're not going to be here. I hear them talking about what's going to happen after the church is taken out. And then they'll start talking about all this, and they forget that they already took the church out. The rapture takes place first. Now, I want to go back to something. I want to throw this little thing in before I get... I'm laying my framework and my groundwork. That'll take me about an hour and a half, and then we'll get on. I want you to go to the book of Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Hold your place in Daniel. We haven't left that yet. Got quite a bit of scripture to read in the book of Daniel. You need more of the Bible than you need of me anyhow. The Bible needs to do all the speaking. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. I hear pages rattling. I'll wait till they get through. I'm not concerned about that. It don't bother me. Amen. Till we get there, I want you to see it. I don't want you to take my word for it. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. But God's word is everything. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible said in verse number 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, I like them little phrases God puts in the book, by the same word are kept in store." In other words, nothing's going to change. I don't care about all this stuff. The tree huggers can say all they want to about everything running out. Amen. They can do what they want to. I'll give you some other I laugh at some of it. I really do. It's hilarious. Some of it is entertainment. And God knows I need a little of that every once in a while. He said, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God destroyed this earth by water one time. He said, I'll never destroy it again. Put the bow in the clouds, the rainbow. Every time you see a rainbow, it's a promise of God that He will not destroy the earth by water again. But God said, the next time I'm going to burn her down. Antifa and all that crowd says they're going to do it. But you wait till God strikes His match. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Notice verse 8. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Can I remind you this morning that God don't get in no hurry? One day is like 1,000 years to Him. Just a little drop in the bucket. You've heard the allegory put together, I'm sure, somewhere down through life, but I'm going to bring it back to you again. About every 2,000 years, and by the way, the earth is not 10 million, 10 billion, 20 billion, or 100 billion years old. I believe in the creation of God, and God made the heavens and the earth. He made it. And I don't have time to preach that through this morning. That's another subject by itself. But I will tell you this. That man has been on the earth some 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years from God to the time He made Adam and Eve until the flood was around 2,000 years in God's economy and God's equation and God's calculation and in numerics of God and according to the Word of God, 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. That was only 2 days of God's life. From the flood until Jesus came and died on the cross and arose on the third day is another 2,000 years. So that's basically 4 days of God in eternity. Ain't been much. 4 days. Can you remember what you did 4 days ago? Some of you can't, but you can stop and think about a few things. Well, could you remember 4,000 years ago? You wasn't here. See what I'm saying? God knows everything. From the time that He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, amen, until this present time, it's been another 2,000 years. 2 more days. How many days did it take God to make the earth? How many? Somebody, listen, use louder than that when you're singing. Say it. 6 days. 6 days ago in the mind of God, He made the heavens and the earth. Just 6 days ago. Well, what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. And there's going to come a millennium, a time when the earth is going to have perfect peace on the earth. And we'll rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. I know that's foreign to a lot of people. That's one more day. And that's what I'm looking for. Now, with that said, we're going back to Daniel. We're going now to talk about the little image that the king saw. He put out a decree and they went to see what they're going to do. And Daniel come back and said, King, here's what you dreamed. You dream of an image, a head of gold, breast of silver, and loins of brass. Brass is judgment. And then he said, then the legs and feet were... The legs were iron and the feet were iron and clay. Now iron and clay mix about like Crisco and water. It don't stick. I'd have said that for you ladies because you know about that. Amen. It's hard to get. I watched my wife fix biscuits a few times, and it was hard for her to get that stuff to mix up good. She just had to work it. All right? You men have seen water get in oil, and it makes little bubbles and separates, don't it? It just can't get it together. And so he gave the image. Then he starts telling the interpretation of the dream. And we're going to start reading there. And we're going to look at this. And I pray that God might help us. I was driving through McDonald's the other day. Well, it's been about a couple of months ago now. Had a little old girl working in there. McDonald's has a big turnover. You have one crowd one day and somebody else will be pouring you coffee tomorrow. Don't pay them much. But I gave her my money for my, you know what I buy at McDonald's? In case y'all want to go there and buy me something sometime. Large coffee, 3 creams. That's what I have. And I'm out there saying, large coffee, 3 creams. They know exactly who that is. If they've been there long enough. I drove on around, gave her my money for the coffee, and I said, how are you doing today? And she said, oh, just great. Said, I'm getting ready for the apocalypse. Young lady. I know that's a word. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Don't y'all know what the apocalypse is? Said, you looking for the apocalypse? No, not me. You might be. I'm not. And this week I like them old radios, the old antique radios. And I was watching this little young fella try to fix one. That's the entertainment. And he said, you know, since the apocalypse has come in, he said, I've been doing more of this. 2 times in the little 30 minutes I watched him, he talked about the apocalypse at the end of it. He said, when this apocalypse gets over. I said, you really don't know what's happening. We ain't in the apocalypse yet. We ain't tired. So people use these terms, and I look at it, and people got question marks. They don't know what's going on. And then I just kind of looking at something, and it popped up, and YouTube had it, and it said, how to survive the apocalypse. And I said, I think I'll look that over. Y'all go home and check it out. You can check out what I'm telling you. And I checked it out, and it come on, and it said, number one, there's 4 or 5 things you got to make sure. Number one, you got to make sure you got water. Not you got to have food. You got to have clothes. You got to have shelter, and then clothes and something else. I don't know what it was. And heat, I believe, maybe. And I got to listen to that, and it's just like everybody's going to be living in the woods. It said, number one, when food gets scarce, you can eat bugs and snails and worms. And said they're a good source of protein. Said water. You need water, it don't matter. You boil it for 5 minutes and it makes it pure. And I thought, what are you going to do when it turns to blood? Now they tell you all this stuff about the apocalypse. And you said, what'd you say when I got eaten? I said, I know how to survive the apocalypse. Get saved today. Amen. Before the Lord comes. Amen. And you go out in the rapture. The apocalypse have no... Now if you're not saved today, you could face that. Now Kim, let me just share some things. I'm not in here... I am not a prophet of doom. Surely you wouldn't think I'm a prophet of doom. I'm beginning to wonder now. I'm looking at the eyes, people rolling around. You know, some people, when you're preaching, somebody going like this. You ain't so sure how far that's getting. Now, if there's anything I believe, I can say about the preaching I've been doing down through the years is I've tried my best to stay with the Word of God. If I deviated off of it, it's because of ignorance. But I am not a prophet of doom. I told you, my land of Goshen is 1743 Robertson Loop Road. God knows where I'm at over there. Amen. He can wipe out the rest of it and leave me standing right there. Or he can take me with him. Whichever one he chooses. Understand? I'm not a prophet of doom. But I do know this. If the Lord come today and got to church, and the saints of God were called out of here, then the man of sin would be revealed. I don't know how soon after the rapture. I think it'd be pretty quick. You know why I say pretty quick? Because there's no restraining force of the Holy Spirit to stop chaos from taking over. And there's a bunch of hungry wolves and dogs in the politician or political world out yonder. And brother, in the governmental sections and the ungodly people in spiritual, in spiritual high places, wicked men that are trying to devour this country right now. And when there's no restraining force to stop them right now, it's not the president or the Republican Party that's holding back the chaos. It's the Lord. And the saints of God. The Holy Spirit that dwells in them. It's not even the saints of God. It's the Spirit of God that's in us. If today the rapture of the church took place and the dead in Christ rise, then we which are alive and remain are caught up in the air just like that. In the twinkle of an eye, twinkle is a lot quicker than you can bat your eye. This world's still got another at least 7 years. It's going to be chaotic years. That's when the apocalypse sets in. Now the apocalypse, let me see, I wrote this down I think somewhere to find out what it said. Apocalypse. The dictionary says the complete and final destruction of the world as portrayed in Revelation. Now that's what they say the apocalypse is. When people said, what about the, they're talking about, it's the end of time, it's the end of time, it's the end of time. I'm telling you this. Don't you worry yourself a bit about the sun running out of any energy. It won't run out till God turns the switch off. He cuts the pilot light off and she won't come on no more after he cuts it off. But if a church is called out of here today, it'd be 7 years of turmoil and trouble called Jacob's trouble. Then the Lord himself will come. And when he comes, he'll bring the saints, amen, with him. I want you to know. Now we've done been called out, but he's going to bring us back. And he's going to settle things and set up a kingdom. Now listen to what I said. He's going to set up a kingdom. I'm going to show you that today, Lord willing, if I got enough energy and enough time. They ain't all give it to you tonight. I mean, just get excited. It's exciting, man. This is exciting days. Amen. If you're versed in the scriptures, you don't have to worry about anything else. The Bible is right. It's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper that hasn't been written. Amen. It's more up to date than next week's Facebook. Amen. Zuckerberg ain't got nothing on God. You hear me? Look at verse number 36. This is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Look at verse 37. Thou, O king. Thou, O king. Get them words in your mind. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. Then say the king of kings. You're a king of kings. Nebuchadnezzar, you're that head. He's going to tell that in a minute. Now, if you go to Revelation 19:16, it talks about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming back. And it's all in cap letters. That's the King. Are you with me? This King here is somebody that's in charge on the earth. Thou, O King, art a King of Kings. Who's he talking to? Who's Daniel talking to? Who? Amen. Well, some of you picked up on it. Nebuchadnezzar. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. God can give a kingdom to anybody he pleases when he wants to. He can raise them up and he can set them down. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Not only give you a kingdom, but he's given you power. And not only power and a kingdom, but he's given you strength and he's given you some glory. God can do all that. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this, notice, head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar, you're king and you're supreme. And if you study your history, you'll find out that the kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar was over is known as the best, the most splendid kingdom. Now, we're not talking about Solomon and all those in all his glory. We're talking about world kingdoms. Solomon was just a king over a certain period and a certain place. You got me now? Just in case some of you Bible scholars that think you know everything about the Bible want to meet me at the door the day when I leave and say, well, now Solomon, he was well known and greater. There's none greater than Solomon, preacher. That's absolutely right. But we're not talking about a king over Israel. We're not talking about a king over a certain portion of country. We're talking about a king over the world. Now, when you go home today, study the Babylonian Empire. How many had that in school? They're not teaching much of that anymore. Amen. I had it too, but I can't remember it. They used to teach stuff like that when I was in school, but I had my mind everywhere else but in the class I was in. You look at my report cards and you're not going to see them, but if I showed them to you, you'd know that. I was an honor graduate. It was an honor for them to get me out of there. Nebuchadnezzar, look it up. When you get home, you can Google it if you want. The Babylonian Empire. You remember Nebuchadnezzar took the Israelites. He brought Jerusalem's people into Babylonian captivity. And for 70 years, he kept them there. He got the appliances and the things out of their temple. And he destroyed it and put it in his temple of his gods. He was that head of gold. You got this now? Wrote that down. Babylonian Empire. Head leader was Nebuchadnezzar. Then in verse number 39, Daniel gives us something else and he says, and after thee shall arise another third kingdom of brass. Well, let me go back and read again. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Then he says, and another third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over all the earth. You find two kingdoms in verse 39. After Babylonian captivity and after the Babylonian Empire, the second world empire was the Medo-Persian Empire. And it was headed up by Cyrus, one of them. And you look it up when you go home. The Medo-Persian Empire. It'd do you good. These ruled over certain periods of time in the Old Testament. Isn't it good to know that you can take the Bible, the newspaper, the history book, and now in our modern day internet, and you can see that it lines up with the Word of God. Wouldn't it be good if everybody could see? but they won't take the time. Wouldn't believe it if it did. Then the third kingdom, when the Medo-Persian Empire went down, and it did, you won't find it no more. It'll never rise again. Babylonian Empire went down. It'll never rise again. The third kingdom come up, which happened to be the Grecian Empire, and it was by Alexander. Y'all heard of Alexander, ain't you? Study your history. That's a world empire. And people been fighting for the world ever since. And the devil is the instigator trying to fight for the control of it. He wants control of it. He wants control of it today. He's doing everything he can to control the world. Through the church, through the home, through the school system, through government, everything. He's trying to pull it up in his arms. And unfortunately, he's doing a pretty good job with it. He's taken over. Is this answer interesting to you? All right. It's bad when the preacher has to give history. But it's Bible. I'm giving you Bible history. Then the Bible said in verse 40. You know, wasn't much said about, there's more said about the Babylonian Empire than there were about the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire. And because each one of these were inferior to the other, of a less degree and of less importance. But verse 40 said, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. This is the Roman Empire. When you get home, study it. The Roman Empire. Who was in charge when they crucified Christ on the cross of Calvary? It was the Roman soldiers. It was a Roman soldier that pierced the side of the Son of God. So Rome was in control. Verse 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And that's absolutely what's happened. The Roman Empire did divide. Study it. I don't have time to give you the history on that. Go read it and look at it. But he said in the middle of that, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Notice what verse 42 said, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. The Roman Empire has not been destroyed. It's got a weak part and it's still alive. It's not as weak as you think it is. If what its weakness is today is any sign of what it was and what it will be. Brother, I'm telling you what, we're in trouble. Or somebody is. I'm not. Amen. Somebody said, I'm worried about the Roman Empire. I'm not worried about the Catholic Pope. I ain't never figured that out. How anybody let somebody go to the window with a little hat and go blah, 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 blah. And everybody is so blessed. If the Pope come to Clarksville tomorrow, no telling how many Baptists are going to try to kiss his ring. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I got to go see the Pope. No hope in the Pope. As much hope in the Pope as there is hope in dope. Huh? Yeah, dressing like Mama called his hip Papa. Yeah. Right. I've often thought that maybe I ought to get me a little window right there. Y'all just drive by and I bless you. Sprinkle a little water, throw a little water on you. The Roman Empire's not dead. Look at verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, saints of God, let me tell you this. I told you last week, and I'll say it again. When the church is called out of here, all these others are going to jump over there. Those that's left behind are going to be ungodly, wicked, and they're going to line up with the Pope. And he's going to grab every religion there is in the world. He'll embrace every religion. And they'll be glad to be part of it. And that's when the harlot, the great whore of the book of Revelation, will rise up. And she will have complete control of the spiritual leadership. And they'll be the evangelist, if you will, tonight or today, of the beast and the false prophet and Satan himself. That'd be the religious system. They won't preach Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross and arising. They'll preach a religion of coming together, of peace and tranquility, when the peace is taken from the earth even. I see it now. But those things not concerning me so much, except for you might get left. For my grandchildren, it might get left. My great-grandchildren, it might not hear. Those worry me. But you know what I'll be doing? Shouting it out in glory land. Having myself a ball. Amen. Now, look what happens. That's four empires. I got time. Can I take time to finish this one last one? There's going to be five empires on the earth. Four has already come and gone. Not gone. The fourth one's still around. But one day the Lord's going to put it down. You said, when's that going to happen? When the Lord himself comes in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And that's going to be around 7 years after the church is taken out. So it could not be long. You wonder why things are shaping up so fast in America. You wonder why things are looking upside down and topsy-turvy and ungodliness on every side. Listen, everywhere I go, preachers are talking about, deacons are talking about, people are talking about how the world is getting in a chaos. And there's an unrest everywhere. People don't like to be cooped up in a house like a bunch of chickens. Amen. And I know the pandemic ain't something to laugh at. I'm not laughing at it. But God only knows where it come from, who started it, and why it's here. And I can give you my speculations. But right now they're only speculations. I get better proof, I'll tell you. Amen. I got my own ideas, my own opinion. Everybody's got them. But if they're not Bible and you can't prove it, it's useless. But there's one more coming. Look at verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the Son of God, or shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. There's coming one more kingdom that's going to destroy the Roman Empire, and the others are already be destroyed. They've already been. Verse 45 said, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made him made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof. And this stone cut out of a mountain is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he will set up his kingdom. And for 1,000 years he'll have his rest with the saints of God on the earth with his Jews. Amen. We are a heavenly people with a heavenly promise, but the Jews are an earthly people with an earthly promise. But we will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. I could go into the book of Revelation. Now people laugh at me for saying all that. They think I'm a crackpot and an idiot. Amen. I got a better reputation than that. I know I ain't real smart, but I know what the Bible says. And I'd rather take the Bible over anybody or anything. Now, I'm not through with this message. You come back tonight, and I'll try to finish the rest of it. And we'll go back to the book of Daniel and prove some other things tonight, Lord willing. God bless you. Now, you see why God put it in the middle of the book? He gave them a little hope over there in the Old Testament. You don't understand what's going on? God done put it. It's as plain as a nose on your face this morning.